So on your bulletin, if you want to follow along and take some notes, there will be 3 points. I decided I would go with the preacher style. There you go, Mike. The title today is What's in a Name? And it's amazing. I talked to Jonathan yesterday and asked him what songs he was leading, wondering what direction they were going to go. And as we decided, it's pretty awesome when God works, because the songs that Jonathan led will work well for Ray's lesson, but they're going to work well for mine as well. Have you ever thought about your name? I mean, really, have you thought about your name? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm a little weird. Well, okay. I can wear that. I can own that. I have a coffee mug that my mom, I believe, gave me years and years ago. It's got my name on it. It's a white coffee mug with a blue interior. Maybe you guys have one with your name on it too. They were pretty common, you know, a long time ago. But it's got my name on there with the definition. And I didn't grab it. I didn't bring it. I don't need to remember what it says verbatim. I just know that I'm strong. I'm brave. I'm powerful. I'm sure somewhere in there it talks about, you know, being handsome. You know, there's several other ways to puff your chest up, right? It's a positive mug. Well, pretty sure that was the same definition they put on every other name out there, but you know, names are kind of important in naming our girls. We had three qualities that had to exist before we concluded on what name they were going to be called. It had to be a cute little girl name. It had to be a good teenager name. It had to be a satisfactory adult name. And then we actually added a fourth category to that too, and just in case they became president, it had to be a strong name. Just in case. Well, it made it pretty easy to weed out a lot of names, but it made it difficult to hone in on the one that we wanted to identify them. See, if you look at Alexis Ann and Michaela Jade, no, you're not in trouble. I'm just using your name. If you look at them and you go, well, yeah, they look like an Alexis and a Michaela. Okay. But see, we didn't have that going for us when we brought them home. We weren't there when they were born. So we didn't get to look at them and go, oh, yeah, that's definitely an Alexis right there. And we didn't get that. We had that name before we met the person. My name, however, is messed up. You know, when I introduce myself to you and I tell you my name's Rick Gobin. What? Rick Gobin? What? How do you spell that? The K and the G of Rick Gobin get muddled up together in there. In college, my buddies had fun with that because I'd always enunciate it. I am Rick Gobin. I had to stop with a K and a G. And they go, this is Gobin, Rick Gobin. But my official name is Ricky. R-I-C-K-Y. I don't know either. Growing up, I despised my name. I hated my name. And no matter how many times I declared my name was Rick, I was Ricky. By everybody. It wasn't until my freshman year of high school that we moved to a new town that I got almost everybody to quit calling me Ricky. I finally got rid of that childish and humiliating why off of my name. My parents were gracious enough that they gave me a middle name that was equally atrocious to me. George. Ricky George Gobin. Thanks, Mom and Dad. As if growing up as a teenager and young man is not hard enough, I guess I'm not Sue, so I guess that helps according to the song. Right? No. Just like the monkey, I was a little curious. I've watched out for many trees thanks to the theme song for George of the Jungle. That was a cartoon before it was a movie, for those of you thinking it was just a movie. My life's curse, though, was topped off when I heard the following nursery rhyme. Georgie Porgy, puddin' and pie, kissed the girls and made them cry. And when the boys came out to play, Georgie Porgy ran away. I loathe the author of that nursery rhyme. You know, I'm having some fun here. There's a lot of good Georges out there. In fact, they own their name. They own it well. Brother Stelzer owns. I mean, he's a George. He owns a George. He's a George. There's a lot of good Georges out there. I've met them. They own it. You kind of got to be a cowboy or I don't know. There's just got to be something about you to be a George, I guess. I don't know. I wasn't. It just really didn't fit me. There's a few Rickies out there that have owned that and they've embraced that too. And I'm barely able to keep up with Rick. I can't be a Ricky or a George. I don't poke fun at everyone else having those names, just at myself. But like with everything anymore, we've got to put a qualifier on that. So please don't be offended if your name is Ricky or George. As I grew older, I began to tolerate these names. I even began to take pride in my middle name because of who I was named for. George Heron. George and his wife, Helen, took my folks as their own children. They didn't have any of their own. Mom and Dad were a young preaching family with two small kids. I think both of them were around when they met George and Helen. Immediately, they became grandparents to my brother and sister, and eventually to me as well when I was born. Now, I have memories of George. Not many. He died when I was young. But I have some memories of George. I have a few pictures of him. I've got his casket flag. I've got his name. You know, that stands for something. That stands for something. Something else that stands for something in my name is I am a Gobin. I understand what that means. You may not have a full understanding of what that means, and that's okay because you're not a Gobin. But to be a Gobin, there's a set of unwritten rules. Gibbs has his rules. Gobins, we have ours, right? Charity, like other Gobin wives, she said, "You're not putting me as an illustration, are you?" Charity, like other Gobin wives, not only met the challenge of being a Gobin, but elevated the name. Our girls were born with a different last name. They had the same one. But they have been raised with a standard of what it means to be a Gobin. Is there any doubt in your minds that they are Gobins? Absolutely they are. And that's what names are for, aren't they? To identify us. To show whose we are or where we come from, who we come from. I am proud of who I am and where I come from. The scripture that Mike read, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. Not everyone in my family chose to have a good name. I've been told that several of my ancestors are buried in Boot Hills around the Indian Territory of Oklahoma and Kansas. Indian Territory is Oklahoma, but you know. There was some thievery. Horse thieves is really what they were. They didn't bring forth the good name, did they? But I come from good stock. I come from a granddad who turned from his ways and raised a family. I've got a good name, and I'm proud of that. The name we are going to spend the remainder of our time on this morning is one that is misused and abused by many. Maybe you have heard his name used improperly. Maybe you've heard that misuse come out of your own mouth. I've heard it screamed in pain. I've heard it whispered in frustration. I've heard it exclaimed in excitement and more. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, our brother, redeemer, friend, our Lord, our Savior. Jesus, the name above all names. So what's in a name? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. First point, as we talked about a second ago, it's for identification. Identification. We should not only wear the name, but we should resemble the one for which we are named. Now, in our lives, if I came from stock that wasn't good, then I've got the chance to turn it into a good name. You do as well. I'm fortunate that that happened before my time here on earth, and I'm able to come from good stock, but it's up to me to continue that name. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to begin in verse 18. We're going to look at several passages. I hope you brought your Bible, because I didn't have time to put a PowerPoint together to put them up on screen for you. Matthew 7, starting in verse 18. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Notice, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Many people call on his name. Many identify as Christians. But sadly, many will not be recognized by him. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Looking at verse 1. Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Drop down to verse 11. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, I'm not sure I said that right, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Notice here, there is no distinction between us. We in this room, as followers of Christ, there's no distinction. It doesn't matter what our name is, what our background is, what we do for a living. None of that matters. We're in Christ. There's no distinction. Look at verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. You ever process that and what it means? Man, I can't hold anything on anyone here. Not when Christ gave everything for me. Above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Above all, put on love. Notice, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. You know, I would like to think that we all understand this and we're trying to apply it to our lives daily. I hope you are. We're in a time span where we have resources available to us that are different than times past. Most of us have social media accounts. Some of you are smarter than the rest of us and don't have one, but some of us have social media accounts. Folks, this applies there as well. When I see something that gets posted and it's just wrong, oh, man, I really want to correct them. Steve Miner, back during the beginning of the elections, he posted a scripture. He posted the same scripture day after day after day after day. I'll paraphrase. Keep your mouth shut. Man. Some days it was really hard to keep my mouth shut. We didn't do a good job of representing Jesus. We didn't do a good job. I want to challenge us that if we see something that is not right, we don't post a comment. We don't correct someone online. Rather, pick up your phone and call them. Better yet, I suppose maybe if you wanted to send them a private message, maybe you could do that. The phone's a better way, but better yet is to grab your car keys and go over and talk to them face to face. Maybe buy them a cup of coffee. Maybe buy them lunch. And walk through what you see is different there. See, if we don't have a relationship with someone that we can go and have a personal conversation with face to face, we really shouldn't be commenting. If we don't have a relationship that, that we can come and talk face to face, then I don't need to share my views of your post on Facebook. We need to keep that to ourselves. I see things posted that don't reflect the message that we just read. I beg you to please be careful and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts as you interact with others in person and online. This leads to my second point. What's in a name? Proclamation. Proclaiming His name. Drop down to verse 17. Colossians 3. And whatever you do, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Folks, this can come at a cost. Today, cancel culture is rampant. If you take a stand, you may be attacked or hurt by friends or family. Luke describes this as he tells his followers in chapter 21 of his gospel. If you'll turn over there with me. Luke chapter 21. We're starting in verse 10. Luke chapter 21, starting in verse 10. Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven." I'm going to stop there. If you're on social media, if you're watching any media, folks, the Bible was not written about America. That's one of those conversations that we probably just don't need to engage in. The world doesn't understand. We've got folks that are quoting Bible verses about the day and age that we live in and calling them prophetic. Guys, the prophecy has been fulfilled. We have the whole truth in front of us. Our time, it's not. Things can be taken. We can draw things out into our lives and into even. I suppose we could even draw some things into our politics. But I caution us to be very, very careful when we're using Scripture. It's really not intended to get into politics. In fact, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 what Scripture is to be used for. It's to guide, it's to be a guide, to be complete and equipped for every good work. Us, we, not the world. The world runs on a different set of standards. Quoting Bible verses to the world doesn't help. The world doesn't get it. Neither do worldly Christians. You know who I'm talking about. Those who profess to be Christians. But that's it. Folks, if that hits home in what we're talking about this morning, come talk to me. Let's talk. Because we aren't called to be worldly Christians or Christians by name only. We need to fulfill all that we are given, but as we described from Colossians a moment ago. Pick up again in verse 12. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you will be put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. Folks, this may come to our homes. It may. This was written to folks that were about to take on what we know as the Great Persecution, where Christians were torn by wild animals. They were hung on crosses. When I say hung, not hung the way we think of hung. They were nailed. They were tortured. They were whipped. They were scourged. They were lit on fire and used as lampposts. Folks, we haven't met a persecution. Not the way that this is describing. Maybe we've had some persecution. Maybe some family has turned on us, possibly. This could come to us. But look, it is certainly in the world today. Don't think it's not here just because it's not here. It's happening, and it could be here. But look at verse 18 and 19. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Matthew and Mark both record that same statement differently. It says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. It's not about prolonging my time here on this earth. It's about enduring and gaining the victory that we're promised. That leads me to the third point. What's in a name? Salvation. Salvation is in a name. Turn over to Acts chapter 19. The first five verses there says, and it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, no. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul found some who were somewhat recognizable, right? He taught them, and notice, they were baptized into the name of Jesus, the only name that can save. You know, Luke also recorded Peter in, this is in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Peter says he was filled with the Holy Spirit when he said, and there is salvation in no one else, For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. What's in a name? Jesus saves. But notice, it's not Peter. It's not Paul. It's not Apollos. It's not Ray. It's not Jonathan. It's not Doug. Not Greg. It's certainly not Rick. Jesus. Jesus is who saves us. I had some dreams. When I was younger, I had dreams to maybe some greatness, to have my name marked somewhere. One of the first places that I remember that was in college, driving around in one of the old 15-passenger vans, recruiting for the school with a group of guys that we went out quite a bit. Some of you may be aware of a group called Soul Concern. I was part of that group. We were able to have a lot of fun. That van, it wasn't comfortable. We each had our own seat, but it wasn't comfortable. Those vinyl seats back in the day, those weren't comfortable. So we talked about, you know, we're gonna get out, and we're gonna get jobs, and we're gonna go donate money back. And we're gonna get this group, our future brothers, they're gonna have a van, they're gonna have a bus. They're gonna look like show quality people when they pull up in front of someplace, right? I didn't buy a van. I didn't even help buy a van. You know, I thought maybe I needed to donate some money to have my name on a building. That seems to be a thing, right? There's lots of names on buildings. I finally found the one that was going to work for us. Charity wouldn't let me do it. She elevated our name to a higher status, remember? Back when Leonardo's was going under a capital campaign and renovation, they gave naming opportunities all across all the different rooms. One of those rooms, this is the bathrooms. You know, at that time I was still real estate realtor full time, and if you've emailed me, you know my email address goes with my website. Well, it's rick@gowithgobin.com. Couldn't you see it? Right above the bathrooms. Go with Gobin. Yeah, she said no. Probably wise. Probably wise. You know, most of us here will be fortunate enough to have a marker placed on our grave. You know, that's not worldwide. But that's here. It's our thing. We may have a really nice monument. May have something pretty spectacular put down. May cost a lot of money. And it may last for decades. May even last for a century or two. But like everything in this world, it's temporary. It won't last forever. There's really only one place that I want my name found. The book of life. That's where I want my name recorded. Revelation 20:15 tells us that if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Remember Matthew 7. Fruit bearers will be in the book of life. I don't care anymore about monuments. I don't care about plaques or naming opportunities. I guess that's good because I'm probably not going to be able to pay for any of those. I don't care about them. You know, if you look at the culture today, those are being torn down because of a bad name. Could be a great name, could have done a lot of great things, but one thing. And your name is tarnished forever. Folks, that's not how it is in Christ. We can do one stupid thing. We can have a moment of just idiocy. And Christ still takes us. Isn't that awesome? My name can stay with Christ. But notice what Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." See, when my heart was in worldly recognition, I wasn't focused. I wasn't focused where I needed to be. Where is your heart? Does it belong to Jesus? Are we recognizable to Him? Folks, there's a judgment day coming. It's a great day coming for those who are in the Lord. It's not going to be a great day for everyone. Are you ready? I've heard that statement asked, that question asked, for a long time. And you know my answer? For a long time? Not out loud, because you can't say that stuff out loud. You have to look right, right? You gotta work the part. My answer was no. I wasn't ready. No. Everything I wanted, all of my goals and efforts were put into this world, and I didn't want to leave. I hadn't achieved everything that I put my mind to. I struggled to understand how people could say they longed for heaven. You've heard people say that, right? You may have said that, right? Longed for heaven. That was a struggle for me. Folks, we are not created to stay here. We weren't created. This isn't it for us. I am so thankful that God was patient with me and gave me time to recognize whose I am. I look different. I am not afraid of what this world may throw at me. I know who has my back, and I know how the story ends. Christ wins. Why do we not want to be on His team? Why don't we want to wear His name and do everything we can for Him? The sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. And the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. It's a paraphrase from John chapter 10. Are you ready? Will you recognize His voice? Will He recognize you? I want to ask, if not, would you please let us help you? Don't be stubborn like I was. Don't be so prideful and conceited that you're just going to do it your own way. There's a great day coming. And it will be a great day for those who are in the Lord. If you need our help, if you would please take our help, we would be glad to assist you in knowing whose you are. If you need that help, please come as we stand and we sing.